When I had the amazing privilege in March to go on a pilgrimage through Israel, we saw lots of sites that pertained to Jesus' life. We saw where he was born. We saw where he lived when he was younger. We saw where he did his various acts of ministry. And certainly one of the highlights of the whole trip was Jerusalem, this city that played a huge part in Jesus' life. It was the city that was the center of commerce. It was the city that was the temple, that was the center of the Jewish faith. And it would eventually become the city where Jesus would die. Throughout Jesus' life, he traveled to Jerusalem many times to make pilgrimages to the temple, to teach, to preach, to listen, to see what was going on. His last journey to Jerusalem, the one that led to his death on the cross, was one of the most powerful stories that we have, one of these deep elements of our faith. The authorities were looking for him. They were scared of him because of his popularity among the people. There's really no better way to be hated and feared than to be loved. Now, we all know the story of Jesus' death. He was forced to carry his cross through the city of Jerusalem, the cross that he would be nailed to and he would eventually die on. And one of the more powerful things that you can do in the city of Jerusalem is follow this path that Jesus took on that last day after he stood before Pilate and was sentenced to death and then walked through these narrow streets of the old city of Jerusalem carrying this cross, this instrument that would lead to his death that would be torturous and painful for him. The path that has sort of been laid out through Jerusalem is called the Via Dolorosa, the way of the cross or the way of suffering. And many people follow that journey every day to sort of see what it means for them and their story. It's a path that follows the traditional stations of the cross that many of us who grew up Roman Catholic are well aware of. From Jesus meeting the women of Jerusalem and carrying the cross, being flogged by the guards, and to the cross, and eventually to his grave. It is a powerful journey. And like any spiritual journey, there are many ways to approach it. And one of the things that some of the folks in Jerusalem do, some of the pilgrims who are traveling through, is they rent a big, like 6 or 7 foot cross and carry it themselves through these narrow, crowded streets. They'll put it on their back and usually have a very serious look on their face. Sometimes an entire crowd of people will all hold on to the cross and carry it along. And I will readily admit that walking that journey is powerful. But every now and then, my practical senses get hold of me, and I wonder, gosh, I wonder how they get the crosses back to the other end of the trip. You know what? So you've carried this cross on this journey, read these prayers along the way, and then you carry it in and turn in and get your deposit back? Now, fortunately for me, the answer one morning was right in front of me. And I took a picture of it, and it's actually on the back tables because it was one of my more humorous pictures of Jerusalem. But it's basically this guy who's lugged a couple of these crosses over his shoulder, and he's talking on his cell phone as he's walking the half mile back to the other end of the trip. But it made me think about this sometimes strange relationship that we have with the cross and our understanding of the cross. Another story that comes to mind, one of my seminary professors used to tell this story. He was standing at the jewelry counter at Macy's, and there was this woman dressed in a very sort of distinct style, let's just say, and she was looking for a cross that would complement her wardrobe. And the woman behind the counter pulls something out and shows it to her, and she's carefully examining it. She goes, "Well, it's about the right size. I kind of like the design on it. But do you have one without this little guy on it? Clearly, a little more education could be in order. Now, quick question, quick quiz. How many of us here today are wearing a cross in some way? Whether it's a necklace, an earring, tattoo, t-shirt, just a couple. But there's always quite a few, and we always see people wearing crosses. And a lot of people are glad to sort of wear a cross in some way as a symbol of their faith. But have you ever stopped to think about what the cross really is? I mean, the cross itself is this implement of torture that leads to death. I don't think you'd probably wear a waterboard around, or a guillotine, or an electric chair. But yet, many of us, myself included, are very willing to wear a cross. And this week, on the liturgical calendar, on Friday, we actually celebrated Holy Cross Day. Now, the liturgical calendar is full of feast days. Just about every day is on the liturgical calendar. And even though Friday was Will Hobby's 50th birthday, that was not on the liturgical calendar. But other feast days do make it. And so Friday was Holy Cross Day. So I've been thinking a lot about the cross and celebrating it. I don't think we'd celebrate, you know, Holy Electric Chair Day or something like that. That, of course, and our reading today points us to the cross. As Jesus tells the crowd, if any one of you want to be my followers, they need to take up their cross and follow me. They need to take up their cross and follow me. First, it's this very interesting phrase that's now sort of become part of the common parlance. We all have this idea, oh yes, we all have our cross to bear, and we'll say that sort of casually. But this passage, interestingly, comes early in Mark's gospel. We're actually about halfway through Mark's gospel, and if you look at the text that surrounds it, the text that we get today, there's a lot revealed about Jesus before he makes this statement, and it's probably revealing about this statement as well. The gospel story starts off with Jesus asking the disciples, asking the crowd, who do people say that I am? And Peter, in his wonderful eagerness, gets the right answer. You are the Messiah. Now, curiously enough, Jesus then says, great, you got the right answer. Don't tell anybody. I think Episcopalians have been living into that fully. But then it goes on and tells what it means for him to be the Messiah. And what that means for Jesus is that he has to undergo suffering, that he has to undergo death. Now, Peter, who did so well on that first question, doesn't do so well on this one. It's like, Jesus, no, it can't happen that way. We love you too much. You can't undergo suffering. You can't be put to death. And Jesus has to rebuke Peter and say, no, get behind me, Satan. You are focused on things that are human, not on things that are divine. And then Jesus tells this story to the disciples and to the crowd. If any of you want to be my followers, you have to take up your cross and follow me. And there's one word in this that I want to most focus on. And that is there. Jesus says to the crowd, if anyone wants to be my followers, they have to take up their cross and follow me. Not Jesus' cross, but their own cross. Jesus' cross is not our cross to bear. Jesus' cross is what allows us to bear our own. It's what gives us the strength to take those next steps that we have to do, whatever it may be. Sometimes for us, half the battle is identifying what our own cross is so we can take it up and carry it forward. So it's not an anchor that leaves us stuck in some place that doesn't let us be fully who God wants us to be. Now, to figure out what our own cross is, I want to look for a minute about what Jesus' cross was, just as something that points us in the right direction. Certainly, it was not a cute piece of jewelry or a decorative pin. It was the thing that would cause him perhaps the most pain in his life. Something he could have escaped, but faced. Probably faced it both with fear and trepidation, as we remember his words from the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he was on that cross. And if we believe, as our faith tells us, that Jesus was fully human and fully divine, it was the cross that killed the humanness of Jesus and allowed him then to be only fully divine. It sort of fits with in this passage where Jesus is telling us to focus on those things that are divine, not on those things that are human. So the question for us then is, what is that cross that we must bear? What is the cross that each of us must bear? What is the thing that is most holding you back from fully being in relationship with God in the most powerful way? What kills us? What has to die in us so that we can be made fully alive? And there's so many things. I think for Jesus, one of the blessings in his life is he only had one cross to bear. If I look at each of our lives, most of us have more than one cross to bear, more than one thing that we need to let go of, more than one thing that we need to let go and let die so we can live fully. I don't have to look back too far in my life on some things that may parallel your lives as well as things that have held you back. Whether it's a relationship that's not life-giving, that's not fulfilling, and you're afraid to leave it because you're afraid there might not be anything else out there. But what you might need to do is get out of it and move on to some place that is more life-giving. That may be your cross to bear. It could be a job that pays you very well, a job that makes you comfortable, but doesn't fill your heart, doesn't fill your soul, doesn't allow you to be who God wants you to be. And you're afraid to leave because how am I ever going to make this much more money? I asked myself that question many times. That's not the right question to ask. That job may be the cross that you have to bear. Is it pride? Are you so proud of yourself because you do something so well and think that you have to keep doing that? That may be the thing that you need to let go of. Each of us faces our own challenge. Each of us faces our own cross. Each of us faces something in our lives that we need to kill off, that we need to let die, that may cause us some pain in getting there, but will set us free to know God in a different way. Set us free to live fully into who God wants us to be. In many ways, we are all on a pilgrimage through a holy land. Our walk through life in this glorious creation. God did good this week. This walk through creation that we're on is a walk through a holy land. It's a pilgrimage. And we each have a cross to bear. And we often need to lose that which we're most afraid to lose. And we're afraid to lose it because we don't always know where it will lead. And I think in that, we should let the crosses that we wear be a reminder that we need to identify our own cross, our own cross that we must bear. And so each of us must take up our cross, move forward to where God is calling us, so we can be fully alive. Amen.